That you would help my words, you would help me to preach what you want to preach, and leave out anything else that may just be my idea. We pray, transform us as a church, and us as a nation, and us as individuals, and help us to be good and faithful servants to you. May your name be honoured. Amen. Okay, so we did last time. I had sort of, it was more of a focus on the evangelist. That's what I was asked to preach on. What is an evangelist? What do they do? That kind of thing. As a quick refresh, I will mention, here we go, some key points that came up last time. So we had, who fancies pronouncing euangelistes? Okay, that's the transliteration of the Greek. I've got it up there in the Greek letters, if you prefer to read your Greek in Greek letters. And there we go, euangelistes, evangelist, a good news announcer. That word, remember, only comes up three times in the New Testament. But by looking at all the other variations similar, we suddenly realize what it means and why it doesn't need so much explanation. So if you look here, you have euangelion. That is the word translated the good news or the gospel. Okay, so we see Jesus, for example, in Matthew chapter 4 and in other places. Loads of places. I think I quoted Mark 1 last time. But anyway, and he goes around proclaiming the euangelion, the good news. Okay, and then we see him in Luke chapter 4 saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news, euangelizo, to the poor. Yeah, so proclaim good news is, we would probably say evangelize, right? So Jesus says, and of course there's more to that. He says, you know, to proclaim good news to the poor, or you could say evangelize to the poor. He says, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So I'm not saying it's only that, but Jesus clearly includes point number one in his mission statement, evangelize, right? So we have these things, and I just mentioned evangelist would be a good news announcer or proclaimer, perhaps. All right, so that was last time we looked at that. Sort of gift of evangelism and the specialist of the evangelism, what do they do? Today, as I say, it's more about the principles of sharing the good news. And we're going to get this as taught by Jesus. So we've had Matthew 4. I've mentioned Luke 4. The rest of today is going to mostly be Mark chapter 4 and John chapter 4. Isn't that great? So, there we go. Mostly Mark chapter 4, however. We look at some of Jesus' parables of the kingdom, that kind of thing. All right, and of course there are other places that could be. So, I just quickly want to review where we ended last time, just reminding us all of the Matthew 28 game plan that Jesus said. And I don't want to spend ages on it, but notice some of the steps here. So I'll read it out once, actually, for the tape. So Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You notice on the PowerPoint I've got some funny line breaks there just to split things up a bit. Anyway, what do we see here? Well, Jesus' game plan, and I mentioned last time why this does apply to all of us. The reason it applies to all of us actually is teach those disciples to obey everything I've commanded you, which means if you're a disciple of Jesus, that includes the command he just gave. However, let's look at this. So the game plan here is go, take the initiative, do something, say something, speak up. It's make disciples. It doesn't say make converts. It just says make disciples. What's a disciple? It's a student. Okay, it's someone who wants to learn more about what Jesus teaches and who he is and that kind of thing. They want to learn to follow Jesus. So you could say make apprentices of all the nations. Yep. So that's everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So take the initiative. Look to make disciples. Baptize them. And shockingly, because they're students, teach them. Okay, and what's the curriculum that we teach them? To observe all that Jesus has commanded, and that Jesus is with them. Yeah, now I'm pulling that's a little bit interpretive there on that last one there, but notice Jesus emphasizes the obedience of his commands and the practice of his presence, the connecting with him, yeah? So there you go, that's where we ended last time. What we're doing today is, How does that work? What does that look like? And I'm getting more practical. We've gone from like sort of some of the theoretical stuff. Now we're getting more practical. We're not all the way to like, I want you to say this and do this, right? But we are getting, what are the principles? And actually this is, I think, how God prefers to do these things. He doesn't always tell you the steps. He gives you the principles. I'll read the main passages, okay? And there's a fair bit here. So the first parable here, if you want to turn to Mark 4, that's where we'll spend a lot of our time. And I'm going to skip through some of these reasonably quickly because I want to get you thinking. So as he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I don't know if he was making like a grain pun there. It probably isn't the same in Greek, but to me, let him who has ears to hear, I don't know. Do you think that joke's a bit too corny? So this is Jesus teaching the parable. There's a little section that I'm skipping here where Jesus then says to his disciples, why is he speaking in parables and things? And essentially, some people say, oh, Jesus spoke in parables because they're memorable. Well, they are. That's true. But actually, the reason he says is specifically to hide the message from some, except for those who are really willing to pay attention, basically. He says that, yeah. What he's doing, and especially this is true of Mark's gospel in general, but the parables of Jesus are like, they're like a rare steak or something, okay? There's a lot of goodness in there, but it, you know, it takes some, God wants you to meditate on it, okay? The New and Old Testament are, you know, there's a rich tradition of meditation literature going through there. You're supposed to be chewing on, you're supposed to be reflecting on this passage in light of the passage you read afterwards. You're supposed to reflect on it in light of the passage you read before, that kind of thing. So let's have a think here. So they come and ask him about this and the parable he just told, parable of the soils, or the sower. And he says this really important key phrase. He says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Which is really interesting. I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it because I don't want to push it too far. But it certainly implies that if you don't understand the first parable, you will have trouble with some of the others. And if you do understand the first parable, maybe you'll get the rest. Yeah. So there's some common shared imagery and themes. Mark chapter 4 is all about this. So as you have a look, Mark 4 is probably what you want to have open this whole time. So just we'll look along. So he explains, and I'm not going to read it all out now because you can see it yourself in front of you. You can see it on the screen and anyone who's looking can look, you know, it's Mark. So we read chapter 4, verse 2 to 9, and now verses 13 to 20. But what I'm going to do is quickly pull out some of what we discover here, okay? My animation-y thingy is not working. One moment. Boop, 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 boop. It's going to ruin everything. Technical difficulties. Why did the animation not... Okay, we will do this. Did it work? Good enough. Is it working again now? Let's find out. Oh yes, there we go. Yeah, this is the only slide I animated, and I did it specially for Mum because she just loves the bouncing. Long running joke. Anyway, so I will unpack what he was saying there. You guys have a look, see if I'm right. Okay, have a look at the actual passage in front of you. You know, Mark chapter 4. And he says that the seed is the word. The word is actually logos, okay? And it just means word or message, okay? It says that the seed in the parable represents the message. In this case, you can see in other places that's used. So, for example, Mark chapter 1, I mentioned Jesus was proclaiming the gospel. That's the gospel is evangelion. the gospel of God. And then it mentions in Mark chapter 2, straight after that, that Jesus was going around and he was preaching the word, logos, to them. So you get the idea that Jesus, you know, it's, again, this is the same document. Yeah, you've got Mark chapter 1, he's preaching the gospel and proclaiming the gospel. You've got Mark chapter 2, he's preaching the word. You've got Mark chapter 4, we're in now. The seed is the word. We know what he's talking about. He means the good news of God, right? Cool. I will quickly say, I've kind of trained you guys before in a way of, you know, presenting that message. So I just want to quickly, like, can I pick on someone to just tell me what the message is in one little go? I know it's interactive. Eeny, meeny, miny. Everyone's looking like they don't want to. Let's pick on Dad because it's fun. So what's a, very quickly, you're allowed to point if you want, that's fine. But, oh, we got that one? Go on then. Do you want to say here, quick?
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah. So.
I didn't pre-warn him at all.
I know. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what that is really saying is two separate things. One is, wages is things you earn. You deserve it. If somebody said, well, I'm going to give you a gift to your employer. I'm going to give you a gift at the end of this week, and here it is. You go, that's not a gift. I've earned it.
It's your job.
It's my job. I'm employed to do that. So they're my wages. So I've earned them. So the gospel says the wages of what we earn, what we deserve, is death, because we live sinful lives. So it's not even an opposite. The free gift of God is eternal life. So this is not something we earn. This is something that someone else has earned on our behalf. And that is given to us as a free gift. And the only thing you need to do with a free gift is to open your hands and to receive it. It's vitally important to receive it. Okay? And that gift is eternal life. So it's not something we've earned. It's something Jesus earned. And as we receive Jesus, we receive eternal life. Is that right?
Yep. You got the basics in there, yeah. I would usually just add a bit on Christ Jesus our Lord. How do I receive it? I make Christ Jesus my boss or my Lord. It's a matter of, yeah, that's fantastic. So there are a number of ways to present the message of Jesus. I'm sure you've heard loads of them. There are diagrams you can draw. There are squiggly things. There are just presenting passages from the Bible that you could just read out a bunch of stuff. The whole of Isaiah 53, for example, or whatever, right? There's loads of stuff you could do. I'm not going to major on it now, but the point is the message is there, right? So we're talking about what happens when you spread that message. So that's the seed. The rest of it, I'll go quicker. There it bounces in. The birds, of course, that snatch the seed away before it can germinate, that is represented by Satan, his activity, you know, his minions or whatnot. You've got the path, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, the good soil. You could call the path the compacted soil, I guess. But anyway, that'll do. Is the various hearers and their various levels of readiness. Okay. Then you've got, double bounce. Look at that. Anyway, then you've got like the plants. It's interesting to think about, because in this analogy, Jesus is mentioning plants are springing up, right? And some of them are there, some of them produce fruit, some of them don't, that kind of thing. It's people's responses to Jesus. It's perhaps believing to some extent, following to some extent, obeying to some extent, trusting to some extent, those kind of things. And then fruit would be all sorts of things. You know, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Did I? I don't know. Check me later. Right? So those are the principal fruits, is what's going on in our hearts, our transformation. But crucially, if you think about fruit, Jesus is using this farming analogy. All fruit includes the production of more seed. So if the seed is the word, what's Jesus thinking of? Do you see what I mean? In this very parable, the seed is the message, is the spreading of the good news, and the plants produce varying amounts of seed. So when he says that, you know, the good soil produced 30, 60, or 100 times as much, he means as much seed, yeah, as was sown. He says as much as was sown. Cool. That's an interesting point. So we are looking for all of us to be doing some amount of spreading. All right. Good. Now, what I want to do here is I've got a couple of things. I'm going to go through these parables quickly, and we'll see what else Jesus says about this. All right. But do we see that he has set up a farming analogy regarding evangelism and sharing the good news? Right. He set that up. So the rest of the chapter, he keeps going. He diverts very quickly from the farming analogy to say this bit here, you know, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed or not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So there's a little diversion here. As you'll see, I'm going to quickly say a couple of bits about this, and then we're going to look at the next couple of parables, which are back on the farming analogy, and you're going to have some thinking about them. So I will say a couple of things here. So in the parallel account where he talks about the lamp under the basket, in Matthew 5, 15 to 16, Jesus also adds, to the bit about the lamp being under a basket, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Okay, so shining out into the world is part of the purpose of being a disciple of Jesus. Shining is part of the purpose of a lamp in this passage here. Yeah? He says, why would you light a lamp and then, you know, cover it up? You might as well have not lit the lamp, right? He's just using that quick. It's a quick fire thing from Jesus. And he also points out nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. Nothing, there aren't the secrets except that come out, right? And so the truth is going to come out anyway. So if you're a disciple of Jesus, one thing he's saying here is own it. Now your colours to the mast. That's one thing I could quickly say out of this. Verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Think about the kind of things they would be measuring out in those days. Grain and flour is probably the most common. So again, we're still on the sort of seed thing. All right. And that verse 25 where he says, to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That same phrase is repeated in other parables, like in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. It represents sort of God's servants being rewarded for how well they bring glory to God. What they have is basically the spiritual results of their labor, and they present that to God and say, "Here's what I have. You know, you gave me this, and I've turned it into this. Yeah, I've invested it. I've done work, and now it's multiplied. Here it is." And of course, the servants, you know, turn up with their profits to the master and are told, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In fact, all the servants that turn a profit in any sense with the resources they were given get told, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Even though some of them were given like five and earned five more, and some of them were given two and earned two more, right? So maybe you haven't been given a Billy Graham, a portion of gifting to do things. Doesn't matter. The question is, what will you do with what you've got? Yeah, so I'm going to mention those on the way through. Sowing seeds is where we're at. What I'm going to do now is put, if it will let me, there we go. I'm going to put this one on here, and I want you guys to spend just literally a minute mulling it over, see what you come up with. And you can talk, but I'd like you to think. It's just the next paragraph along. That's what community groups, it's very easy. We can just look through the parables. We can study them. Okay? This is designed to be chewed on. So, yes, was there something? Was there a hand up? I didn't see. No? Okay. Over here?
Yeah, I noticed, I might be wrong, but I noticed that the man is involved at the beginning, mm-hmm. in scattering the seed, and he has a responsibility, a role at the end in gathering the harvest. But the rest is done in secret by God.
Right? Yeah.
The man can't do anything in the middle.
Very good, yeah. That's something important we see here, right? So there is an involvement of the person, but clearly the kind of main part of what happens is God, right? I've got something here. I've highlighted a couple of things I've seen, okay? So the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Okay, remember what Jesus says, if you don't understand the first parable, how will you understand the later parables? Yeah, so he's continuing on this. Okay, we know how the seed scattering is working as this parable. Right, he scatters seed, all right, fine. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how, okay? The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come, and there you have the person involved again. Okay, cool. Paul mentions another stage potentially in this analogy. He says, when he's talking to the Corinthians, about there was a dispute about who was the most important leader in that church because Paul had done some stuff and then Apollos had gone and done some stuff. Anyway, Paul's correcting that and he says, hey, who then is Apollos? Or what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. And then he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So, I was going to use an example here. that's funny. Joe's just run out the back. I was going to say, actually, with Joe, like, I shared some stuff with him. And later when he responded, I was like, great, let me lead you through that. And we baptized him and teach him and so on. But what happened in between? Joe will be the first person to tell you that the first time we offered to share anything with him, he told us where to stick it, right? oh, dear, he's coming back in. Hey, Joe, we're not talking about you, don't worry. So, yeah, first time I shared anything with Joe, he was like, nope, not interested. And then...
That weren't actually not the first words.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, all words to that effect. but the point is... Like, it's not something special that I do or whatever, you know? I share the message, sometimes multiple times, that's fine. You scatter a lot of seed, you're generous with the seed, right? But, like, then you go away, and you come back later, and you go, oh! And Joe's like, actually, I wouldn't mind meeting up and talking about some stuff. That wasn't a single step, by the way. It was like, there was lots of talking in between, and then at some point, he's like, actually, I would like to hear some more. And you're like, okay, great, you know, it's growing, and then you do some watering. You know, or whatnot, and you care for the person where they are, right? So this is what Jesus is teaching, that there is a process that goes on. The most important part of the process is what God is doing. Now, perhaps we could pray. That would be a good idea. Jesus wants us to pray. But the most important part of the process is what God does. But we are supposed to scatter the seed. That's what God has chosen us to do. If we don't scatter the seed, he gives no guarantees as to whether he will put some out there himself or not, right? We're supposed to scatter the seed. He is the one who makes it grow, right? And then, of course, recognizing when the grain is ripe, that's just when a person is like, I'm ready to be a follower of Jesus. I'm ready to be gathered with other followers of Jesus, and we all come and hide in the barn or whatever. Right, cool. Excellent. What about this one? Have a quick look. This is Mark 4, 21 to 34. Oh, hang on a minute. No, it's... 30. What have I done there? I've typed it wrong. It is 30 to 32. it's verse 30 to 32. For some reason, I don't know why I did that, but just a typo on the PowerPoint. I'll fix it. You're allowed. That's fine. That's fine. Relatives, fine. No, actually, what I mean is from someone who hasn't spoken already. I'm just curious to see anything at all. It doesn't have to be a masterpiece of anything. It could just be something you notice about this topic of spreading the good news from this passage up here. Fantastic.
That's the way, you know, if you look at it that way, I mean, using a mustard seed, just kind of put it in perspective, it's very minute.
Yep.
But when you plant it and it grows bigger, so it's just
very good.
That encouraging mistake.
So,
do this. There's far more
greater
things to come.
Yeah, that's good. I'll just repeat for the tape. So, yes, there are far greater things to come than what you can see when you start the process or something like that. Fantastic. Don't think I could summarize it better myself. Okay, yeah, the kingdom of God is, you know, when sown, During the sowing stage, there's nothing much to see. And then you'll find yourself wondering, where did all this stuff come from? Where's all these plants? Why is there all these people who are saying, oh, I'm suddenly, you know, interested in following Jesus? And you'll be like, that's weird. How's that? Yeah. So absolutely, you initially will not see much. It will be humble. It will be not look like much is going on. So what does that require of us if we are the ones sowing the seeds? Well, yes, you have to sow the seed, but like what? Obedience, trust, like persistence. You know, don't worry that you don't see anything. Jesus is saying you're not supposed to necessarily see anything when you are sowing. You see stuff when there is growing, but there can't be growing if there hasn't been sowing. Yeah? I don't know how to put that simpler. All right, cool. Yeah, I always thought, get so big that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. I don't know for sure, but I always had the feeling that meant like it gets so big in the end that the world, the people of the world, kind of start setting up shop, you know, in and around what has grown because they might as well. There's an ecosystem that's formed. I'm not sure if that's good or bad or what, but just it's a thing. That's the feeling I always had. I'm not certain there. Anyway, right, a covering. It's good. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, maybe you could say everyone will benefit society wise. Right. So, yeah. Great. Here we go. John chapter 4 to round us off with those. We've got Jesus saying already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. Don't get hung up on the word fruit like we use it in English to mean exclusively like a certain kind of sweet. You know, this is any kind of harvest, right? So like barley would be, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, so, yep. So the sower and the reaper may rejoice together, for here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap, and he's speaking, you here would be the apostles. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Cool. There's some more than that in John chapter 4. Have a look at that for a minute. Again, is there anything anyone who hasn't spoken already can say they notice here?
You reap what other people have sown. It's a team.
Fantastic. You reap what other people have sown. It's a team effort. Okay. You know, here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. That doesn't mean, as I've heard it presented before, that there is one kind of person who only sows and one kind of person or gifting who only reaps. It doesn't mean that. The reason it doesn't mean that is think who he's talking to. He's speaking to an agrarian society where everyone is involved in sowing and everyone is involved in reaping. He just means you might not reap the same field that you sow. Yeah? One sows in a particular field, one guy sows, someone else might reap. It's a team effort, yeah? And you may not know who the other team member is who's going to carry that on. So you sow when it's time to sow, and you reap when there's the opportunity to reap. Yeah? Nice and simple. And just to clarify, when he's saying here, you know, gathering fruit for eternal life, we are talking about people being brought into connection, the free gift of God and eternal life. Yeah? We're talking about people being connected to the life of God. This is good. And that's why there's a lot of rejoicing. I'll mention at the end here, a reminder of Paul's charge to Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5, preach the word. Well, I'll just do verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Why does he say with complete patience? Well, because as we've seen, you might not see obvious results to begin with. You will have, remember the parable of the soils, you will have varying responses. You will sometimes have promising starts from people, growth, and then, oh, no, it turned out, you know, the roots hadn't gone deep, yeah? Or there was other stuff in their life that was more important. It doesn't mean you write them off forever. It just means, okay, they're not ready for harvest yet, yeah? We'll keep going. We'll pray. We'll let God do his work. You know, who knows? It's a team effort. Do you see what I mean? So you will need patience. It's going to be messy. But absolutely, God is only promising to make the growing happen. He's not promising to make the seed sowing happen. He's commanding that we do the seed sowing. And then remember, That could be sharing what God's done in your life. It could be a simple, learn a simple presentation of the good news. You know, a 30-second thing could be a Bible verse. It could be saying to your friend, hey, would you like to read this together and we'll talk about it? Like, you know, it doesn't have to be, it's a discipling thing, right? You don't have to, like, get someone across the line. That's not the goal. You just have to invite someone, yeah, to connect with Jesus, to look at his teachings, or you tell them a bit of his teachings. Why not learn one of his interesting parables and share it with them and say, what do you think of that? You know, you just need to get the discussion going, and God is the one who brings the growth. That's the idea, okay? So there we go, in season and out of season. Cool. And I like that. We had the dream earlier, didn't we? Yeah, about a seasonal change. Isn't that interesting? From what was it? From like deep dark winter to bright end of winter, perhaps hinting of spring. Okay, cool. Praise God. We'll have that. Yeah, cool. All right. Quick summary there. What have we learned? Just yell something out. What's that? He likes using, I'm going to say, like, yeah, he likes using sowing and reaping and harvesting and farming analogies. Jesus does like using those. And he uses a lot. And they are consistent through the Bible. Yeah? We've been, you know, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, some of Paul's letters. Right? There's more as well. Anything else?
We have a role at the beginning and the end of the process. And we should follow through on those. What occurred to me is that we typically, the enemy often distracts us into thinking about the middle bit. But why? We get caught up in that. But it's very clear that we do the sowing and we do the reaping.
Yeah.
And we don't worry about the length of time of the middle or the process of the middle.
Yeah. I will say the word reaping has a slight of negative connotation these days in our society, because we don't do a lot of harvesting ourselves manually. But you could say the word harvesting, or you could say gathering. You gather the crop, right? So there you go. Yeah, good. Fantastic. Whew. All right. We'll...
Sowing the seed is our problem. What happens to it is God's problem.
Yeah, sowing the seed is our problem. What happens to it is God's problem, right? Also, God is willing to help you with the sowing the seed part. So that's good. Yes. What can we do when we're worried about God's part? We can pray, right? We can ask him, yeah? There we go. And if we're worried that we might need more teammates to do this, remember, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send more harvesters into his harvest field, right? Jesus does this like constantly, this parable. Okay, so this is the teaching about the principles of evangelism from the lips of Jesus. There's plenty to meditate on. I realize there's a load there, so we can do that in community groups and so on. Shall we pray? And we'll finish, yeah? Lord Jesus, you are a genius. You are the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. Help us to be faithful in little so that we can bring you a reward out of that and so you can entrust us with more. Yeah. Help us to stick close to you and remember connection to you. Help us to be faithful and courageous in sharing your message, whether you know, eloquently or simply or, you know, at length or briefly or whatever. Yeah, I pray. Your will be done. Amen.